listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 14th of September.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Seems a fun time of the year, Ando.
Yes.
14th of September, across the years.
Yep. Because in normal rate, you're finishing an idea.
Yeah.
And then all you have to do is work out whatever the end of year party is.
Yep. Yep. That's true. That was a big one in radio, wasn't it?
Yeah. What are we doing to finish off the year?
And then, you know, you've got 3 weeks of ringing. Of pre-organized phone calls calling bands.
Yeah, yeah.
You go, hey, Powderfinger, do you reckon you play? Oh, geez, boys, I'd have to check the calendar. Yeah, okay, I'll come and play.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Can't believe we secured Powderfinger.
Can't believe on 1-800-Powderfinger they picked up.
Yeah. It was really good of Bernard Fanning to be very, very available.
Thanks,
at 4:20.
And now as a thank you, here's your new song.
Definitely in that order. So, yes, September. September is rounding out something fun. We would try to finish the year with something each year.
Yeah, I know, but I mean we would just – I feel like you're also – maybe because of the stuff I see in the run sheets across the years from September 14th, yeah, there's – yeah, maybe it's just that lull where anything can happen. It feels like we've got a lot of kind of
great,
interesting stuff going on in September. So in 2006, it says in the run sheet we were waiting to see if you had won Cleo Bachelor.
Oh.
But I remember it being wasn't it like a night?
Yeah.
Like an announcement? So I was like, why would we be waiting to see?
Maybe voting closed.
Because I was like, there wasn't a protest or anything, was there?
There should have been. Lucas Neal's still in the High Court, I think.
were we waiting to see if the results got overturned or something, like a Georgia recount or something?
The thing we found as well with the Cleo Bachelor became very evident is that they say it's voted by the public, but the public counts for one of six votes.
Yeah.
And then
it's Russian elections.
Yes. And then you kind of realise that I was the only one in the country of
Well, I think Tim Cahill was up against you.
It was Lucas Neal.
It was Lucas Neal. Maybe Tim Cahill was up the year before or something.
Yep.
It was like a Socceroo where everyone's like, oh my God, well, he's a hunk.
And Lucas Neal was a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like
he was playing for I don't know who Lucas Neal played for, but he was playing for a Premier League team.
Yeah.
And he was making $1 million a week.
Yeah,
and he's not coming out to say thanks for a magazine competition.
Yeah, and then to get his surfboards from Cleo Bachelor. Yeah, so I think he's playing for Blackburn.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, and also you know that those type of people aren't as heavily invested. Because there's just a photo. There's a stock photo of them in the magazine.
Yeah.
Where the rest of us had to go to a poolside photo.
You had to go and hang out poolside. God, that was fun watching you go through that.
Oh, it was awful.
But well done. You snagged it. We were waiting to see. The protest was not upheld. You didn't use too much whip in the last, you know, the last straight of your modelling of the catwalk. And you were able to legally win, I guess. On that same heartthrob, single dude, bachelor vein, you know, you would think, 2006 already, he's the Cleo Bachelor. Maybe 10 years later, he's settled down and he's got 10 kids and he's moved on. That was a wild time of his life, but he's moved on. No, Ando. Mm. September 14, 10 years later, in 2016, to the day.
Okay.
Shane Warne was in, Warney was on the show. Genuinely pitching a new TV show idea about you and him as two single guys that go out on the tear and pick up crumpet, to use Shane's terminology.
No, I don't think it's what he said. I think you've made that up.
Well, that's what he was doing on the show. It says in the run sheet he was here pitching a new TV show and we was talking. It came up during conversation because he's like, I reckon that'd be great, you and me, Andy. You know, we're in a mansion and we're out, like, you know, trying to date, trying to get back in the dating game.
I
defend yourself.
I was with Beck at the time. So
I don't know. Warney was pitching pretty hard about two single guys out and about on the tear.
But I think,
maybe in a break? Would you have been in a break?
No, it wasn't in a break. It was very early in the relationship. But
maybe
also,
that was part of the pitch. But now that Theron says the next break, Andy agrees to dump his girlfriend.
And from memory, Hamish took this opportunity to invent this TV show.
It says on the run sheet, Warney was pitching hard.
Anyway, are we going to listen to
that? No, we don't have that. We don't have that audio. I found something else in another year.
Good TV show, by the way.
Yeah.
If Beck ever leaves me, they're still available.
Yeah. Warney and the A-Dog. Yeah. Oh, man. Warnhub.
From memory,
Andy Lee presents Warnhub. Just Warney at home with tons of girls.
From memory, you were this is what I recall, right? From memory, you were saying the TV show set in Warney's mansion.
Yep. I remember this being his pitch.
Really? Okay, but I remember him maybe he said something like it and you ran with it, but I remember that you saying both Andy and Warney are upstairs at the mansion. There's a ring on the door, and one of them has to decide blindly who goes to open it.
Maybe I did write that. He's coming back to me slightly now. Maybe we wrote as a joke on the run sheet, Warney pitched Andy in your TV show. Maybe it was my concept because I like it.
I think it was.
I like it. In 2015, though, 1 year before the Warney TV show, we were playing a game. I don't have the audio for this, but I just wanted to bounce it past you because I can't remember what this was.
Okay.
We were playing the Royal Deck of Destiny.
Oh, no. I have no idea what this is.
What was the contest where we went, it's a deck of cards and you've got to pick.
I do remember something.
And someone
like
has
this.
To pick a picture card. And I thought it was for.
It was for Melbourne
a company
Racing.
Called. Oh, that's who it was.
It was for Flemington.
It was for the Spring Racing Carnival.
Because for some reason, the Spring Racing Carnival and
royalty
royalty comes to Flemington. It was all about royalty, and so they were desperate for us to do an idea that
had the word royal in it.
Royal in it, when they should have gone with racing.
Yes, racing is more the thing you think of
when you think of Melbourne Cup.
Because when I think royalty in racing, I think the Queen watching her horses.
Yes.
I think Royal Randwick,
yeah.
Which is not in Melbourne. That's not the Spring Racing Carnival. Mm. But you're right. It was like.
Yep.
That was the theme that year. Everybody's a royal or something.
This was a pretty perfunctionary type competition, but I think we had you get a chopper out, you get a limo out. Like there was different varying tickets and things, and that was the.
Because I. wasn't
great.
No, it wasn't great. One of the key memories I have of that competition.
But if they're listening, it was boy, did it serve the purpose of the
sponsor. Gee, we loved doing it, and I think it was money well spent on your behalf, guys. Because one of the things I remember was we kind of thought of that idea quickly. We're like, what about this? We'll just do this. And then we were just busy with other stuff and we couldn't be bothered thinking of another idea. And then they're like, guys, we really need, the station, the whole network was like, wasn't this one of the ones we were stealing off Nova or something? That was always happening in radio where it's like Nova could get this. And
they were pitching to both companies.
And we're like,
we'll
let Nova have it. And they were like, no, we've got to get it.
Yep.
But because we'd not put much thought into our idea, which was essentially, I think, picking a card out of a deck, and if it was a picture card, you'd go into the races.
Yes, and, king, queen,
yeah.
Jack. I don't know why the jack is royalty as well.
And we had a few little...
What is a jack, by the way?
Well, he's not royalty on our show, I'll tell you that. But, it was a bit of something like that. But it was one of those ones where we didn't put much thought into it. We moved on. Hmm. Then the whole, the team from Spring Racing and the ad agency was in the building.
Yep.
And we remember we were brought in to pitch.
Oh, yeah. We brought in to pitch.
And suddenly, because they're like, Hamish, you've got this idea that they're really excited about.
Oh, no.
And I just remember us in the boardroom at the radio station.
Yep.
Putting so much mayonnaise on this serving that we were offering up, talking about how we just thought it was going to be so much fun to do this on air, which was essentially just pick a card, any card, maybe you go to the races. It was this collision of poorly thought out idea meets enthusiastic pitch because we can't be able to think of anything else.
What it had in its favour though was it was at the moment. Racing, obviously, it's going through a different period where people are like, are we supporting this? Animal cruelty, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But back then, people really, really wanted to go to the races. So it had in its favour that at least the prize was something significant.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. Oh, we were into it. We just knew it was just an odd position to be in to sell it in like it was the greatest idea of all time.
When we hadn't really.
Yeah, I remember the awkward sell. Here's what I want to get to.
Yep.
We visited this concept a few times in our career.
Before we should go into it, should we give Mike a nod to the sponsor?
Yeah, I was going to give you a little teaser about what it is. But no, let's do the sponsor, Mike, and then we know that's done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's been a clean runway.
Anyway, here's the spring racing carnival, thanks to Mike.
Great, Mike.
Here's the area we played in a few times. The concept of eating 100 dumplings.
Oh, yeah.
The 100 dumpling challenge.
Yes.
Now, we had...
Lawrence Peck.
We had Lawrence Peck, a gentleman on the show that claimed he could eat.
He was a friend of a friend who said that he could eat 100 dumplings at a party. He said he could. And then when we drilled down on that, we're like, that doesn't seem right. So we tried.
Because we were like, from memory, we were like, not mini dumplings.
Yep.
Like maybe he's confused and he was at a conference or a function or something and he had mini dumplings. We went, no, shumai.
Yep.
Like dim sum.
Yep.
Full size. No, they have to be soup dumplings. I don't think anyone could do 100 soupies.
And he ended up saying something along the lines of, I could, but my wife doesn't want me to, or something like that.
Yeah.
And one of the best calls we've ever.
Famous line from the show. If we ever did tats or t-shirts, we would have.
Yeah. You're full of lies, not dumplings.
Lawrence Peck, you're full of lies, not dumplings. And it sparked off an enormous feud. Mm. I think what I've got here from this show is. I think this is the second attempt. Remember there's another guy that came on the show and he said, I have been thinking about this for a long time.
We went to the restaurant in Chinatown.
Melbourne in Chinatown, yeah. And I can't remember the name of the actual restaurant. Was, you know, one of the classic dumpling houses. Mm. I don't have much details on the run sheet, but I'm pretty sure what we're about to hear, and I hope we've given it enough context, is the second guy, like years later, I think Lawrence Peck's claim was around 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're about to hear is now years later, the second guy going, I can do 100 dumplings. Go, Mike.
The 14th of September, 2016.
It's a long story.
Yeah.
It starts, 7.5 years ago, I think.
It starts 7.5 years ago and, I mean, we thought it had got like a comet, like an exciting comet. We'd never thought we'd see this story really again. Mm. But the same theme arose on Monday, Ando. And the theme is one man saying he can eat 100 dumplings. Mm. There's a history to it. So we've got the show historian and archivist, Cackling Jack, to rummage through the archives and take people back to the first time we ever talked about the topic of one person claiming they could eat 100 dumplings a feet. We weren't positive it was even possible.
Let's go back to March 2009 when Andy's mate Hawgs made a bet.
Hawgs has walked out of the party with a $1,000 bet that a bloke at the party called Lawrence Peck couldn't eat 100 prawn dumplings in 120 minutes.
There's no way the guy can do 100.
Lawrence Peck can eat 100 dumplings.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think you are, Lawrence? Because you're not downing 100 dumplings. I don't even know you, but I'm against you.
But Lawrence Peck's mates were confident.
Lachlan, we don't know who Lawrence Peck is, but you had yum cha with Lawrence Peck yesterday.
He was in training, gents.
Oh, geez. Look at this. Lachlan, would you back Lawrence Peck if you were a betting man?
I would back all 129 kilos of him.
Oh, he's a big man.
Didn't know it was 129 kilos.
However, at the last moment, Lawrence pulled out of the bet, citing his fiancée's disapproval.
He maintained, I could have.
Yeah.
I was just my fiancée saying she doesn't want me to do this kind of stuff.
He said, absolutely, I could have for this. I'm just not going
to. Rather than saying, I admit here that that's a lot of dumplings to fit in one human.
And then someone posted, you're full of lies, not dumplings.
Yeah. Which is a phrase we use to this day if anyone lies, which confuses everyone because it's never in reference to dumplings.
Fast forward to 2016 and Hamish spies this in the paper.
An article about a young man tonight called Reese who is taking on a Chinese restaurant's 90-minute all-you-can-eat dumpling challenge and it says, keen to devour a ton. And I thought, don't tell me. Could this kid be going for a record you and I have talked about on and off for the past 10 years.
We were contacted by Joel, who knows Reese from school, and who also happens to currently hold the record at the restaurant for eating 100 dumplings.
Joel, are you confused as to why he's got an article in the paper?
I was shocked, I'll tell you that. I mean, I'm the undisputed world dumpling holder, champion of the world.
Well, you've done 100.
Did you get any press?
I got a post on Facebook by the restaurant's page, but that's about it. I was shocked.
What do you reckon he'll get, Joel? Where do you think he'll get to?
Oh, look, he's known to be a man who talks the talk but can't walk the walk. Reece, you will never break this record, buddy. It's me. I'm the undisputed champion of the world.
24 hours later, before knowing the outcome, Joel was still confident his record would stand.
Boys, I can safely say that there's no doubt Reece would have had a good try, but there is no way he would have beaten the record.
Okay, okay.
Well, Joel, we can tell you, and we've just received this news from the restaurant.
Yep.
He cancelled his booking.
Ooh! You're joking.
No, he did not front up for a hundo dumpos.
Wow.
So Reece had pulled out, and something about this had irked Andy.
Do you think we will see Reece step up to the plate?
I hope. We're putting a little bit more pressure on him. I know I am, but...
In a nice way, in a nice way.
Because the thing is, I don't mind if Reece fails.
Yep.
What I don't like is, I could, but I'm just going to leave it.
Sure. Because this has become our... We're special prosecutors for this kind of claim.
Yeah.
A letter admitting you can't do it... Or a genuine attempt to do it, which, by the way, is the more honourable way out. Even if you fall some 40 short.
That's fine. Absolutely.
You want it on the record. If you're not going to do it, you have to say because you don't think you can do it.
So that's where we're at. Reece joins us now. Reece,
we finally got him. Reece, how are you, mate?
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy to you, Reece.
Ahoy, Reece. No doubt it's been an emotional past few days for you.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Reece, talk us through it. Were you meant to go, not last night, but the night before, for the dumpling eating contest?
Yeah, that's pretty much true, but I fell quite ill. But I'm not one to back away from a challenge.
I knew it wasn't a back down, Reece. I thought it would be a mechanical issue, maybe a late bus or a bad taxi.
Okay, so Reece is not pulling a peck.
He's not. You are not, Reece. You have managed to dodge one of the worst taints in human history, which is to be labelled a Lawrence peck. You have dodged a pecking.
When it comes to dumpling eating.
When it comes to dumpling
he's
eating.
He's apparently amazing. At
he's a really lovely guy.
All these other pursuits.
All these other pursuits. He's an excellent friend and a family member. But, Reece, what level of sickness were we? What, talk us through the symptoms.
Oh, well, I had... tonsillitis.
I thought that would
really hinder me my eating.
Oh, it's good. Your throat's closing up.
Exactly.
It's an infection of the throat. The throat's a critical part of the swallowing mechanism.
It's a smaller pipe. You're trying
it's
to stuff.
You should actually have a doctor measure your esophagus and go, it's reduced by 17%. Yeah. You only have to eat 83 dumplings. you should get handicapped for how much your throat's closed over. No, so Reece, you did the smart thing.
How long will it keep you out of action, Reece?
Oh, I've already rebooked.
All right.
When are you going?
When are you going?
Monday.
Oh, so inconvenient for us. We're on holidays.
We're on holidays. Reece, do you want to push it back?
We're about to take a 2-week break.
I don't want to take a guy out of his window.
I don't know how
you prepare
your training peaks work.
Yeah, but we'd love to see it on the 3rd of October.
If you stalled, could you stall it for 2 weeks so we could be part of it and we could be there to see you slam a hundo and one dumplings?
Boys, that sounds like a plan, I reckon.
Oh, Reece.
Great.
The new people's
champion.
We now have got 2 more weeks of training.
Reece, we'll be in touch. October 3rd, let that be the date.
Reece, just because this has got a bit of a UFC feel about it, I mean, Joel was talking a bit of smack on the show the other day. He actually said, I've never known Reece to do anything well, I think was his barb. Do you have anything you want to throw back at Joel?
Yeah, the thing about Joel is that he likes to throw all these insults around, but, you know, like, I think deep down he's a bit of a fragile character.
Yeah, right.
He's not too fragile. He's got 100 dumplings in him as ballast.
That was
great memories. I did not remember that we pushed his window. We had a go on him for cancelling and then we made him push it back 2 weeks so we could go on holidays. What jerks.
Look, I think we should do the spoiler alert. He did try.
He didn't get it, did he?
He didn't get it.
No, he didn't
and you
it.
And
Mike,
I.
Mike, do you remember how close he got?
I've got the YouTube video.
I feel like it was in the 80s.
No, I don't think it was even that close.
Really?
I remember
think it's
the
52.
Oh yeah, I remember the look on his face. And we've and look
52.
We can sympathize with Reese because we've been there so many times.
See, it's 52.
Still a lot of dumplings. Like around mate. That, yeah. It's still a lot of dumplings.
It is. But
we've
like,
been there so many times with eating challenges. Yeah. And I remember the look on his face well. Where you just know.
He knows.
He would have been full at, really full at 30.
And he has 90 minutes, but he would have
it doesn't
known.
Matter.
He would have known at the 23 minute.
You know, mark. You know at 20 minutes. you just know. You have to get about 90% down in the first 20 minutes.
And also, he went, because we had to wait for 90 minutes just to see it expire. But remember, we were at the restaurant, Ham, and the whole thing was over in 25 and minutes, that is.
We had dinner, didn't we?
We had
because we were like,
we just sat back.
Feel like any more, Reese?
Okay, well, we'll have dinner to see this out.
One of those, and the eating challenges are hard because people, quite often you're hungry throughout the day. So people listening to this might be hungry right now. Mm. And you go, 52, I could eat. I feel like I could eat 12 easily just now, and that'd get me up to 64, but you can't. It's not the same. Eating challenges are... When you're full, you're full.
Yeah.
Like, I know there are boundaries our minds impose, but at some point physically you can't put any more food in. Mm. No matter how much willpower you have, you cannot put 2 litres of milk into a 1 litre carton.
Nah.
You just can't get it in.
Yep.
So I remember just seeing the look on his face and you and I going, let's order. Let's get dinner because Reese is. And I reckon the reason he got to 52 was probably about the 35 mark. He would have been going, oh, shit, I'm done.
Yeah. But need
but
to get
I've
over
got
halfway.
To get to 50.
Yeah.
And then at 50, 52 is such an interesting number because what it tells you is the human mind, like, he was completely beaten. He's on the canvas and he would have gone, no, come on, I'm halfway. Can I rally?
Yeah.
You've got two more in you. Do you know what I mean? Like that would have been his charge to 100 after 50. Like, no, I can do this. And then do it. I can't do this. I can't do this.
Great remembering.
Listener.